Hello, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap-Up Podcast. Every week, we come together, we dissect the messes that are these couples and their lives. And this week is no different. Welcome aboard the Hot Mess Express. I am your host and conductor, Puyazan Bikili, ready to dive into all of these things. And this week, it feels like I've already had this podcast happen. It's because I podcast with this person on a regular basis. It is the one, the only, Liana, the Panini Press Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Oh my gosh. Great episode of the Mass Thing. Oh, no, wait. Okay. 90 day, 90 day fiance. Right. Okay. Talking about the other way. This has been, a season with its up and downs, but I think this episode in particular, there was some pretty wild stuff that happened and I can't wait to get into everything with you.
Have you been enjoying 90 day fiance this season?
It's been fine. I tune in because I want to know what happens, but there's a lot of couples that I'm just like, ugh, I don't really care that much about you, especially Evelyn and Corey. I just can't be bothered with them. Alina and Steven fascinate me. I'm really curious to know where they're going. Ari and Benny are just a mess. Kenny and Armando, of course, are adorable, but so boring. Like, they're just well-adjusted humans. And like you've talked about this multiple times. I don't want to watch 90 Day to see successful couples. I want to feel better about my relationship. And when I see them effectively communicating and being supportive of one another, I'm like, come on. How dare you be so kind to one another? But look, overall, 90 Day is 90 Day. And it's definitely going to be better than whatever the mess of the single life is going to be. So
no, don't talk about that. I'm not ready. That's next week. We're a week away from 90 Day the Single Life season
two. Okay, I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm actually super excited for it. Like, I made the joke, but Debbie, I can't wait.
Debbie as a cast member for one of these shows is something I never would have expected. So
it's going to be torture. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
I know. And like, that cast is, the more and more they've released about that cast, the more and more I'm like, why are these people coming back? Big Ed is coming back. Natalie's coming back. Jesse is coming. Like, why? Who asked for Jesse. This?
Yeah, not excited for Big Ed. I think he needs to be probably taken off our television screens. Like, he does not need any more airtime. But and maybe I should say the same thing about Jesse, but the fact that he's with the woman that Tim was with, that whole thing also fascinates me. It's going to be chaos. But look, we're here to talk about the other way, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry. <I guess. laughs> Wait, what is the other season? That's the other thing about this is that, you know, we've seen, except for Alina and Steven, who are new, then there's, Yes, Ellie and Victor, but they get so little content. It really just feels like one new couple. I think that's what's also been really tough about the 90 day universe in the context of COVID. And obviously, right, like there are certain restrictions and limitations in place, but we're just not getting a lot of new couples. And I think this new season.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Not the single life. What's the other one that's coming up? I think there are more new couples there, right? Yeah, before the 90 day. Yeah. Oh, which is also utter chaos. I think that will feel more like, okay, we're back in the swing of things because we're going to have new people to, you know, tear apart.
I feel like that's the official start of the post-pandemic era for 90 day is mm-hmm. that season. Because outside of Soldier Boy, there's no one new, which is great. I mean, everyone's new, sorry, which is great. And especially after two seasons of both 90 day Happily Ever After and then 90 Day Regular, that not in that order. Like, it's been a lot of the same couples and it's mm-hmm. enough. Like, we need mm-hmm. that to stop. All right. So anyway, like you said, we are supposed to talk about the other way. I feel like we're not there. So let's go back to this way instead of the other way and talk about this. Liana, I want to start off talking about the favorite couple, the one that's the least problematic, the one that's just uplifting. What are your thoughts been on Kenny and Armando this season as a whole? And then we'll dive into what's going on here this week.
I think they're one of the few couples I have genuine empathy for. Like, I actually, my heart goes out to them for a lot of the situations that they're in, especially with Armando having to deal with his family not necessarily being supportive of, you know, the lifestyle, which is ridiculous. But we got some good news throughout the season. I think the fact that his dad has come around, and in this episode, we find out his dad is actually coming to the wedding. I mean, he hasn't set foot in the wedding, but at least he's in the car on the way to where Kenny and Armando live, which I think is at least the start of something positive. Truffle somehow is still alive, which is genuinely amazing to me. Like, this Chihuahua is 17 years old and is completely blind, but somehow still kicking. I assume it's because of the tutu costumes. Look, overall, they're just so sweet and so adorable and so wholesome. And in this episode with Kenny's family, I think it was, what was the name of his grandson and his daughter?
Cooper and Madison.
Yes, Cooper and Madison. Yeah, so having Cooper and Madison come and seeing them all interact with Armando and with Armando's daughter is just all around very adorable.
Yeah, you know what, though? It's very interesting for me with this episode with them, because it felt like they couldn't figure out what to show us. So they kept showing us Kenny and Armando, and they had like the second most content on the episode. But there wasn't a lot of substance there. Not that they're not that this couple lacks substance. That's not what I'm saying. But like, from a narrative perspective, yeah, storyline perspective, it's nothing.
It's a lack of drama. I mean, I remember from their first season, Kenny was driving to Mexico for like weeks. Like, he left Florida in the third episode and he didn't make it to Mexico till like the end of the season. That's how much they dragged out their storyline. Like, it was all about Kenny driving to Mexico. So yeah, I mean, I think that that's something that has continued on to the season. That being said, I think in the ocean of chaos and evil, you know, you need the Kenny and Armando. So I think it's still nice that they were on this season. They are the one redeeming a pair of people here, where somehow I like both of them, which is pretty shocking.
Well, that's not true. You've told me a couple times this season that you're a big fan of both Corey and Evelyn.
So. Yeah, I love both of them so much.
All right. Well, right now, Kenny and Armando are on trial. So let's see what else there was. I say trial, I don't mean that. You know what I mean. I thought it was very sweet when he reunites with Cooper. So obviously in this episode, we learned two things at the beginning. We learned that Kenny convinced Armando to send his dad a message so that his dad can read and reread this message with regarding to, hey, RSVP to my wedding, guy. What did you think of that move? Do you think that's a good move?
Yeah, I actually really liked this because I think, especially when you're processing something super heavy, being able to sort of have almost the handwritten letter equivalent to go back to reread. And I think also it's beneficial for both the recipient and the sender, the writer, whatever, because if you're going to write something to someone, you want to be very deliberate about the words that you choose, how you phrase it, versus if you're just talking in person, you know, you may not necessarily have that same attention to detail because you know that that person can reread it. So I really liked this move. I liked that it allowed him to, one, express his feelings, and then also to have his dad sort of be able to sit with that. I don't know if that's part of the reason that ends up influencing his dad's decision later on, but I really liked it.
It's interesting because from a sending perspective, I agree. But as someone who hates being left on read, I could not handle like days and days of just not knowing what if the message was received the way I thought it would receive. And did the tone, did they get it? It's a lot.
Sorry, you don't like being left on read.
Yeah, 1,000,000,000%. Okay. Are you going to be shady right now? Are you about to say some shady?
No. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. You never get left on red. Other people might, not but you me. Never
you,
do.
You literally leave everyone else on red.
That is
me.
Not true. That is cap. Stop.
Okay.
It.
Okay. but yeah, so in terms of the move, I like that move. again, I think that Kenny and Armando are just so perfect for each other. They're so incredibly adorable. And it warms my heart to see Armando's relationship with his dad grow. I mean, especially knowing that the whole family, like none of them were supportive. And now the fact that part of the family is coming to see his wedding, I think is really, warms my heart, like I said.
Yeah, it's fun with them because they've been on two seasons and we've seen the arc, right? We've seen them go from zero to now having support at the wedding. So that's going to be lovely to see. Speaking of support in the wedding, we did get Madison and Cooper arriving. So Madison is Kenny's other daughter. We've met the other, I don't remember the name of the other daughter that we saw during the season earlier.
Oh my God. I don't know. I don't remember all of Kenny's kids.
Well, so then Madison and Cooper coming through. Cooper is the little young grandkid that he left behind. And Madison's a single mom, so he helped raise Cooper, which gave me more insight as to why he felt such separation from them and leaving them. It was very adorable meeting Cooper in the airport. I was very touched by that.
Yeah, that was really okay. So he has triplet daughters, Taylor, Cassidy, and Madison.
Cassidy.
And then he's got, I think he's got a son too, right? Because I know he's got four kids.
Yes.
Does he have four kids?
Yes.
Anyway, yes, Cooper is the only grandson at the moment, I think. And so I think that there's also then this, because it's the first grandkid, I mean, all grandkids are equal, obviously, but because it's the first one and he had to leave when Cooper was so young, I mean, because he was what, a year and a half-ish, maybe two, when he had to leave to go to Mexico. And then because of the pandemic, he didn't get to see him. I think that's also been a big thing that probably contributes to a lot of the homesickness, is that maybe that would be somewhat tempered if Kenny was able to travel back to Florida more often.
But 100%. And you know he would, too. You know he would. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's, I mean, essentially retired. So I think that that's something that would have eased a lot of that pain. But to have their little airport hug was so cute. And when Cooper was like, "You look different," I was like, "You got fat," I think is all Cooper wanted to say.
Oh, my. Liana.
I know. But I mean, come on. Like, it's quarantine. We're all in this, the weight gain together. Okay.
So I did love that interaction with Cooper, but then the next interaction, immediately he goes to hug Madison and he's like, "You look tired." I was like, "I'm sorry. Madison did not just travel for you to look at her in the face and be like, 'You look tired.' Come on. Come on. Do better."
Kid speaks it like it is.
No, this was Kenny who said
that. Oh, Kenny said that? Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was the kid.
Like, yeah, thanks for delivering my grandson, but you look tired. What's up?
It's a parent thing. It's totally a parent thing. My mom would say something exactly the same thing.
Yeah, but I guess they get the pass. Parents get the pass, but like others don't.
I guess so. Yeah. I think if you raised somebody, you get a little bit of leverage.
If you walked into your lab tomorrow and someone said you look tired, wouldn't you in your head be like, "F you"?
Yes, of course. But did they birth me?
No, that's what I'm saying. Parents get a pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I agree with you. Yeah.
You did? Okay, I might have heard that. Okay, that's fine.
Oh, God.
So Armando does have a concern in all this, Liana. Armando's nervous that the homesickness will get worse because this is a quick turnaround trip for the families. Like, they're coming in and then for the wedding, then they're leaving Monday. So I don't know what day of the week it is currently. I can't imagine it's more than a weekend.
I think they said that it was only what, like 2 days or 3 days or something like that. Exactly. So yeah, it is a very, very quick turnaround because they're all leaving on Monday, I think.
Yeah. So what do you think about Armando's concern? Do you think this is something to be worried about?
I mean, literally both of them said the exact same thing, both Kenny and Armando. Like, Armando said, "My biggest fear is Kenny feeling like he's made a mistake." Literally 2 seconds later, Kenny's like, "I might get more homesick when they leave." So obviously, again, the fact that they are such a cute couple, they're so in sync. Yeah, obviously, especially if both of them are having that concern, It's what Asia talked about last week on the podcast. You know, you can go a while, you wean yourself off sugar, and then you have a cupcake and you're like, oh yeah, sugar.
Sugar's great. I like sugar.
Okay. Thank you. This has been fun, fast facts with Puya.
Yeah. Did you think you stuck the landing on that one?
No. I'll workshop it before we go back to that well.
All right. Well, when we dissect the who's, the what's, the when's, the why's to why you couldn't land that, we'll talk about that later. Let's talk about more about Kenny and Armand. Honestly, there's not much else. Like, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's not much else. Kenny does sit down and vent to Madison a bunch about how homesick he is and how he can't, like, this past year has made him realize, like, he needs the family support, and how being in Mexico, they've not had that family support from Armando's family. And he always constantly finds himself thinking about how much support they would have if they lived in Florida around his family, because his family would support them. A lot of that stuff. So again, this is like, I think this is very relatable given the pandemic, given being, you know, stuck at home, not seeing your family, realizing, you know what? My family might have their problem, but they're my family and I love them and they love me.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think a lot of people can kind of relate to that. I mean, I know I certainly can, as someone who has moved away from family because of my career. So the pandemic has definitely made me feel this way of like, yeah, I definitely want to, for my next stage, move at least closer to my family so I can see them more often.
Yeah, same. I look forward to moving closer to my family as well.
My family. Our family. Our family.
Aw. And last but not least with them, Kenny, Armando's like, I don't know if dad's going to come. We'll see, I guess. And Kenny's like, just call your mom, play detective, and find out if he's like there. Because Armando said, yeah, so mom said that she's just packing dad's stuff for him and he's not saying no. And I was like, this is the most, like, just ask at this point. Like, this is torture. Armando was putting himself through literal torture before he actually called.
It was cute. I thought it was so adorable. It did feel a little bit like, can you ask and see if she likes me kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Because, or maybe the big brotherness of it all, of like the roundabout way you have to go about finding out if the dad, you know, if dad is coming or not. But I mean, I think really, honestly, it was an open question until they got in the car. And I don't know what the context was of how dad got in the car. You know, obviously he wasn't like, yes, reception, wedding, let's go. But I think deep down in his heart, I mean, you could tell how much he cared about Armando and how much he loved Armando. And I think deep down he knew what he needed to do in order to support. And I think that that message, the texted message, I think that that really helped hammer it home. And yay, dad is coming to the wedding. How cute.
Hell yeah. No, and I do think that Armando putting his foot down helped big time. Because I think up until this point, Armando's dad kind of got the impression of if I just say I don't want to do something, he'll leave me be, you know? Mm-hmm. So Armando not leaving him be and being like, listen, just to be clear, I need this and I want this. So if you don't do it, I'm going to be upset. That combined with, you know, you're going to regret not being there later. Mm-hmm. Like, worst case, you are not happy with the experience, but at least you were there, versus like down the line in the future, you look back, you're like, I wish I had went. You don't have that anymore. So, doesn't matter what got him in the car. He's there. He's on his way. Hopefully the wedding goes smoothly. There is no world where this wedding's not going to be the smoothest wedding we've seen on the show, right? There's just no world.
Oh my God. I'm so excited for the manufactured drama of like, oh my God, am I actually ready for this? But that's going to be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be completely fine. The big next time on piece we get with them is that Kenny talks about with his family about how they had gone to an orphanage, and I think it was Madison was freaking out that they're considering having a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it intrigues me somewhat for sure, but who knows?
We'll find out. We'll find out on the next time with them and see what goes down there. All right, Liana, you ready for the next couple here?
Oh, God. Who are we talking about? My favorite couple?
Your favorite couple. It's Corey and Evelyn. Liana, take it away. You got this.
Corey and Evelyn. Okay, their whole thing was, oh, apparently their relationship is back to normal now. So, psych, everyone, don't worry. Remember how we thought they were never going to be together? Okay, well, he's actually re-proposing and she says yes. So,
it's so dumb.
This episode very much felt like the rug was being pulled out from underneath me, at least with two of the couples. And this was one of them where it just felt like, well, then why did I watch? Like, what? And it felt like also it was just completely glossed over. It was, oh, he did a bunch of romantic things, and so now we're fine. Although I will say, the massages every night.
I swear, I was watching this on my own, taking notes. And when the descriptions were coming of what he's been doing and the massage came up, like, yeah, that's the one, Liana. I'd be like, yeah, I think this is a good, this is pretty interesting. What do you think of this? Do you
yeah,
think this
that, is a good, that would work on me. I'm not going to lie. I'm an easy woman to please. Just, that sounds perfect.
Yeah. Well, good news is it's been happening every night for the last 2 years. So you're set.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is the whole left on red thing all over again. Look, they're both terrible. They should definitely be together so that they don't harm other innocent people.
That's a lot of the 90-day couples you just described.
Right. I did love Corey's logic of the whole thing of, oh, well, if I do something really big and really romantic, she'll have to say yes. Yeah. Okay, Corey. Sure. That's how that works.
No, no. The best part of this was Evelyn. Okay, so actually, I'll wait till we get into it in a second here. Because I need to vent now about the fact that they literally are wasting my time. Because for 3 weeks, I've had to watch Corey make like hamburger over a pan in this little room with like deck chairs for furniture. And then he has to be like a renter of one of her side rooms in the building that she's in and this whole thing. And like now, his friend was holding him hostage. If he didn't tell her, if he didn't tell Evelyn everything, he would have all of this drama just gone. Now we have Corey and a sign that says, Evelyn, will you marry me again? And he has a boat go and set this up, which, by the way, when he started speaking Spanish on the phone, I thought Evelyn was going to chuck his phone in the water. Like, she looked like, who is that? No, but tell me.
I also thought you could take that out of context because it was like, do it now. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, the ship has a hit out on her. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, what is that? He's got on a death grip. Yeah, it was not great. Yeah. But then... So Evelyn gets reproposed to, says, oh, you're so silly. Yes, of course the answer is yes. I felt a shock to my system. Evelyn is someone we've seen a lot on this show, and I know Evelyn's not quick to turn around on a decision. They clearly skip like a whole month, month and a half of this story, maybe 2 months even, and yeah. We've gotten to this stage.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying is that it felt so jarring that it was mm-hmm. such a tonal shift between what we saw the last time, you know, they were on our television screen. It almost felt like we need one scene in between. Even if you guys didn't get it, can you like fudge it a little bit, like Frankenbite some stuff together to make it feel like, oh, it's on the mend? Because it was just like everything is garbage. Corey's garbage. She's totally over him. And then everything is perfect and we're totally back in love. It felt so backwards.
Yeah, because wasn't last week the movie, like maybe we'll do movie nights again? Like we went from movie nights to marriage. That is not how things work. That is not how it works.
They're already married. So it makes it very confusing. Okay, what did you think of the banner?
The banner was nice. It was a sweet touch. But when Evelyn later says that was the most amazing, best proposal ever, I was like, Evelyn, it's not even the best proposal of this season. Like you got upstaged by Steven. Steven did better than you, Evelyn. Steven.
I think what I liked the best was the fact that she couldn't read it. That was like, that's when you know you've really hit the home run. It's when she's like, what does that say?
I can see my
she's
name.
Like, I see my name, but I don't know what the rest is. Although, you know what? It did remind me a little bit. Maybe it was the font or the coloring or something. Do you remember when Jesse went to the airport for Darcy?
Yes.
And he brought a sign of himself. Like it was a picture of himself, but it was a picture of himself in the same outfit at the airport.
Like, it was like weird.
If Corey had somehow managed to get a picture of him at the beach, like kneeling down to propose on the banner, like some type of weird Inception kind of thing.
Ooh, that'd be very cool, you know. Like, okay, so here's picture this, Liana. We're walking by the beach because I'm very original and I didn't just take the same idea. We're walking down the beach, da-da-da-da, fun times. And then you see a picture in the distance. You're like, that looks like you. And I'm wearing the exact same outfit. You turn around and I'm kneeling and I say, well, it looks like you just looked into the future there. Yes.
Yeah, I definitely.
Why did you chuckle? Why did you do that?
That's a stupid idea.
I'm going to leave you on read more now. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. That's more in line with your normal behavior.
That is not. You're so mean. You're making me seem like the worst person in the world. The leaving on read, non-massage giving, corny, dumb Puya.
Hey, I don't make the facts. I just report them.
Then stop lying to people.
I don't know what you want from me.
Liana yells at me every day. Okay, all right.
I'm just trying to get that out there on record.
Just delivering the fact. Just giving the facts out, you know.
Oh my God, that reminds me. Is it a Family Guy episode where it's like we've heard reports of people looting? Have you seen people looting? No, we're just reporting it. What is that from?
Don't know. Couldn't tell you.
All right, I'll Google it.
Well, you can Google it at some point. Sure. Sounds good. I did write in my notes that once Evelyn watches this season and sees Steven's proposal to Alina, she's going to dump Corey again. So.
Oh, God. Honestly, though, to go back to that, I would 100% pick the Corey proposal over the Steven proposal. You want me to sit there awkwardly while my partner sings terribly?
If your partner has that voice, of course, that's bad. But your partner doesn't have that voice. One. Two. It's a sweet gesture. It's a romantic moment. If the partner's nailing the notes.
It's South Park is the clip that I'm thinking of.
Well done.
Thank you. Hold on. I'd have to
listen.
Everyone
noticed how she kind of yada yada'd me talking about being potentially the one proposing there, right?
Okay, well, look, no, okay.
No, you'd rather listen to an old South Park clip than accept my whatever. I'm going to make a shitty sign in the ocean.
Oh my God.
Your sign will be in Comic Sans.
That's honestly papyrus me, bro. I don't care. Pick whatever font you want. All I'm saying is that if it was specifically Steven singing, okay, also that's horrible for multiple reasons, because what dark turn my life has taken if for some reason that's the situation I find myself in.
And suddenly you'll be like, aw, I miss Puya.
Yeah. And his leaving people on red.
Oh my God, you're so mean. You know how self-conscious I am about that.
Okay. We're just reporting it, right?
Shut. Yeah, great. More outdated references from Leon on podcast. Love it. Great.
Yeah. No, we haven't actually seen it, Tom. We're just reporting it.
Okay. Well, there's no Tom on this season. Sad enough for you. Okay. However, there is. Also, yeah, Corey and Evelyn, the next time on, she's like, well, I don't know if I want to get married like by the church because that marriage is till death. And then Corey's like, no, Evelyn, that's all marriages. So
I thought they were already
they are.
They're already married, and they already the whole issue is that, oh, if I tell my family, we can't get divorced. Okay, well, you told your family. So as far as I'm concerned, the same restrictions applies. There's something about like, ooh, Jesus was looking at me, but he wasn't looking when you guys were in the courthouse. I don't get it, bro.
I don't know, bro. We'll see, bro. Liana. Let's go over to the proposal that you would definitely not accept. Let's go over to Steven and Alina here. They had a somewhat quiet episode, but they've also fast forwarded in their relationship. So it's been a couple weeks since the proposal now. And I would love to talk about the main aspects of what Alina says here, but I have to stop down and talk about the cats. Alina is out here in this park, in this B-roll, just petting different cats and literally introducing us to a different amount of cats. There was Mr. Cattles, the cat. There was Cucumber, the cat. And then there was their favorite cat cow. I gotta say, I'm a Cucumber, the cat guy. Mr. Cucumber is my guy.
Yeah, I will say if it wasn't for the astrologer later on that we'll talk about, the cats definitely were the stars of the show. Mm-hmm. Also, the fact that apparently Steven abandoned her so she could go play with cats. That's, I feel like, underreported storyline. Like, where is Steven in all of this? Alina's just out there hanging out with the cats. My favorite moment, though, was when Alina said, yeah, we tried to make human friends.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Mark Zuckerberg, you robot. Like,
sweet baby Rays. We're applying the sweet baby Rays.
Sweet baby Rays. Sweet baby Rays. We're applying the sweet baby Rays. Oh my God. If you don't know what that's from, there's this clip of Mark Zuckerberg saying sweet baby Rays like way too many times to be normal human.
In a very, very abnormal way. Like, I know it doesn't sound normal to say anyway, but it's very abnormal.
And it's like not barbecue sauce, like sweet baby Rays. We have to say, oh my God, that's so funny.
Sweet baby Rays.
We're applying the sweet.
So, you know, Alina's out here playing with these cats because she can't make human friends, but also because she's just sitting around waiting for Steven to get these documents sorted so they can get married and they can move to Russia.
Is he working? Like, what is he doing, though? Like, what was he off doing? Because the thing is we know he has not prepped a single document.
Well, we did see him playing cards, so maybe he's goofing off. I feel like that's obvious answer here.
Probably texting women, I assume.
No. His social media is deleted at this point. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, here's the whole thing. That whole trip was predicated on the fact that they were going to get married. So I don't understand when Steven's like, well, I don't want to get married. Oh, and then, well, we have a month left. Do you know how long, sir, it takes to process paperwork? And plus, how long did it take you to get your visa? At least you have some experience, right, with that. Like, it's not going to be that quick of a turnaround. And I mean, he just doesn't seem too concerned. That is very classic Steven behavior. So I totally get where Alina is coming from. It feels like the rug was pulled out from underneath her because the whole point was to get married. And now Steven's like, no thanks, fam. Hopefully he has more strategically timed gifts that he can give her.
Oh my, yeah. Tell me that you are planning on being a horrible partner without telling me by having strategic gifts ready at in the corner.
The fact that you could plan ahead enough to be like, oh, I'm totally going to screw this up. I need to have gifts on hand in Turkey ready to distribute at, what did he say? Opportune times, pristine.
Yeah, strategic.
Whatever. Yeah, strategic moments. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? There's something wrong with that boy.
Yeah, he's not great, obviously. But also, you know, it reeks of privilege to be like, yeah, if I had it my way, like, we wouldn't be getting married anytime soon. But we have to get married soon, so I guess I'll do it. But it's like, but you're not putting in the work. Like, both of us know getting paperwork is a lot of work already. Oof. Getting files and documents is a lot of work. You want to leave enough room where if you go to submit and it's like, oh, well, these are wrong, these are outdated, you have time to pivot and change that up. It's not fun. I hate doing it. Liana doesn't like doing it. Liana knows how much I hate doing it, but you got to do it if you're trying to get everything sorted. So I wouldn't trust Steven to do this, to be honest. If I'm Alina, I'm grabbing Mr. Cucumber. I'm going over to the house and be like, listen, I'm going to watch you while you do this because I don't trust you to do it, because he's going to say some outlandish stuff about her and not trusting her.
Yeah. Okay. Just before we get to all of that, Steven, honestly, if you don't want to get like, if you, the what he said in that confessional about if I had it my way, we wouldn't get married. That's a totally valid feeling to have, but you have to tell your partner that that's how you feel, because he's stringing this poor woman along, and there are plenty of red flags anyway. Poor Alina. But it's just, it just feels like he will wait until the deadline and then he will go back to the United States. She will go back to Russia and then he'll say, okay, let's do this again. And then they'll go back to Turkey again. And then who knows if they will actually ever get married. Cause to me, this is still for Steven a trial run. Like as much as he wants to say that he's committed to her, the behavior says otherwise. And I think also maybe he's waiting Fuya until she can get baptized. Cause that was the whole thing, right? Like that was his big complaint about her was that he wanted to make sure that she would commit to being baptized, but she can't, she has to get baptized after they get married. But because of COVID, they're not doing the baptisms in Turkey now.
Right. That's actually an interesting point that I hadn't thought about. So do you think his plan right now is to slow roll it so that she gets baptized before they get married? Do you actually think that could be the case?
I think so. I think he's going to put, again, a month because you have to, one, apply for, like they talked to the immigration attorney. They have to still apply for the license to get married. They have to get married and then they have to file their paperwork so that he can go to Russia. And that's obviously going to take time. So I don't understand how that is all supposed to happen in 1 month. Now, Steven is an idiot. So it's entirely possible he does think that it's, you know, achievable to do it within 1 month. But I think what's most likely going to happen, they're going to get to the month. Of course, it's not going to happen. They're going to go their separate ways and they're going to come back together in Turkey and like whatever the waiting period is for them to get new visas. That's my guess. And I think by then, maybe Steven is hoping that the baptisms can happen. So then he can have that guarantee of her being baptized before they get married.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. All of that is to say, we'll see. If I had to predict, I think he's going to mess it up, but I hate it. I hate it the way he questioned her and told her that, hey, can you promise me right now that you will? Cause I'm worried you're not going to want to do that once we move. So I hated that. And then I love that, Alina basically said, listen, if any of us should be doubtful of the other, it should be me. I love that. That was a great line. I think she said that in confessional, not even to his face. I wish she would have said it to his face, but she's not wrong. Basically, she isn't wrong. However, I'm very surprised that they don't have a next time on. Why do you think that is? Oh. Are we actually going to go through an episode without them for the first time ever?
Maybe it's possible. I mean, they got very little content this episode as well. And if you think we're getting close to the end, because when does the other way start? 2 weeks.
The other way starts. No, the other way is this season, Liana. You mean no, before the 90
before,
day?
Before the 90 days.
Before the 90 day is going to start December 12th. So.
Okay. So yeah. So, and if they do two, like, let's say they do two
episodes, two tell-alls.
So let's say they do two tell-alls, then there's only two more regular weeks of the show left. So my guess is let's say they take next week off, then they're back in the finale episode, and then they're at the tell-all. That would be my assumption.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout, which to me, this is a bad omen for them. If they're not going to be on the episode next week, I don't think they're together. I just don't. Because
really?
We'd still have to see them get married. And the season ends with them like going to Russia.
No, come on. For sure. They're not getting married. A month left. I mean, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a good omen for them.
Maybe. Oh, but okay. But they could still be together. You mean physically together? Or you mean like together?
I mean, if the story is meant to end with them married, I don't think it's trending that way for this season.
No, I think they're still going to be together, but I think they're maybe like not going to get like married.
I literally just said that.
No, you did. I go, well, look, I misunderstood. It's fine. Look, the unfortunate part of them not ending their story is that we may see them again, which is horrible because Steven licking the wine glass is my sleep paralysis demon. But if we have to see them again, I'm fine. I'm fine, I guess.
There could be a lot worse couples we see again.
That's so true.
At least
they're still fresh enough, right? Like, I don't want to see Ari and Binium again.
Yeah, I'm okay with no more Ari and Binium. Honestly, I'm over Jenny and Sumit so hard, we're about to talk about in a bit. Get rid of Corey. Literally, the only couple other than these two that I would not mind seeing again would be Kenny and Armando. And that's because they are the beacon of positivity, but mm-hmm. they do not anchor the show in entertainment form. So I'd be out for right. that reason. Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's just move on to the next couple then. You brought them up. You said you don't want to see them again. Let us know why you are, Wiz Khalifa featuring Charlie Puthing, Ari and Binium.
Oh, okay. So I'm actually super excited that I'm here to talk about Ari and Binny, as much as I do not want to see them on another season. But I have felt like, okay, I want to be 100% clear. They have both done horrible things, and I do not like either of them. But I was trying to understand, and I've seen several Reddit posts about this, that is like, why is Ari behaving this way? Like, what happened? What are we missing? Because essentially what happens, if we try to put the timeline together, is Ari is proposing to Binny at the end, saying, or like when she was still in Ethiopia, saying, I promise I'm going to come back. Here's a ring. I'm committed to you. I'm committed to our family. Then, very similarly to Corey and Evelyn, but maybe in the opposite direction, the next time we hear, she's like super upset with him, super mad at him, whatever. Okay. So I was trying to understand like exactly how this whole story progressed. And I think it's important to note all of the things that Binny has done that I think set up why Ari is so frustrated by the things that we've heard in like these past couple episodes. Cause at least from what we've seen from her being in the United States, we know that Binny was using the apartment, like to have a bunch of people over and like partying with his friends. He was taking pictures with girls that Ari doesn't know. Ari found the text messages, from a girl that Binny had met at the club while she was gone. And Binny, of course, would also turn off his phone or ignore her calls, during like this whole situation. Okay. So that's just the stuff that's happened since she's been in the United States. But then I think if we look back at like his previous behavior, I think there's a reason why Ari is having such a strong reaction to these specific things, because essentially Binny has this history of cheating because he lost his wife and kids because he cheated on his wife. He also cheated on his girlfriend, the one that he plays the butt bongos with. I don't know how the butt bongos fit into this whole situation, but like that's also a thing that's happening. I don't know if we're pro or con on the butt bongos, but I just love saying the words butt bongos. So I'm going to repeat that as many times as I can. Anyway, so yeah, so he has this like behavior of serial cheating. And then also Ari stated that Binny would leave her. This is when she was in Ethiopia, that she would, or he would leave her alone for long periods of time and wouldn't answer his phone, would go to the club, would like delete texts off his phone. And then also like the family Binny is not like super supportive to Ari. So I feel like her strong reaction is almost the culmination of all of these things. Now, obviously that doesn't excuse any of Ari's behavior, like going to the United States without telling him, you know, her hysterics for other reasons, right? But I think that that's where Ari is coming from. And I think that that's part of the reason why she's had such a strong reaction, because she's poured like so much emotional labor into this man. And she goes to the United States to see her family and he's like running a mess.
See, yeah, listen, what you said was a good summary of some of the things that have happened in the past with them, with Binium's behavior and what Ari may have seen, etc. However, I think the biggest problem with Ari is that she doesn't communicate with him. And I understand that she has been using this excuse of, well, you're not answering your phone, you're not picking up the calls, whatever, whatever. She withheld going back to their home, where they would have arguably been able to have the most conversation, which I think they need. Because, you know, you think about the whole, she stayed with Leandro during her visit to Jersey earlier, like during her pregnancy, didn't tell him. She bought the tickets to go to the States, didn't tell him. Like, it's her history of withholding from him that makes me feel a little bit like not comfortable. Because if Binium has the full image, full story of everything, then he's still running amok. Then yeah, that's a whole different vibe, a different story. But I don't know. There's a lot going on with them that I feel like they're just not showing us, right? And I think that's the truth of it, because, you know, we talked about how Corey and Evelyn fast forwarded to a new chapter. They fast forwarded to a whole new country, like within mm-hmm. the span of the tail end of last episode and this episode. they are now going to Kenya. So basically last episode, to set it up again, Ari gave him an ultimatum and said, I'm not coming to Ethiopia. That's just not happening. If you want to try again to, you know, earn us back, you will come to Kenya and we'll try there. And now the episode starts where she's found a place for 3 months in Kenya, and Binyam's coming over, and she's like, we'll see how this experiment works. Otherwise, we will figure out visitation rights for him to see Avi, and we'll separate.
Sorry. I'm just like processing all my thoughts. So, great summary of this. I think that because of where Ari's at, she sees Kenya as the compromise. Now, obviously,
she sees it as the middle ground because they've both lived there before. Like, they both know the area. And he can go there without a visa.
And we unfortunately learned that that was where Avi was conceived. Blech. So unfortunately, I now have to live with that knowledge. I will never think of Kenya the same.
What do you mean? Like, you know how babies are made,
I know,
right?
But I don't want to think. Whatever. Okay, so.
Every time you see it. Okay, never mind. Go on.
No, I specifically them fornicating. I don't want to think about it, okay?
Okay.
I'd rather think about the butt bongos, to be honest. Like, that to me somehow is more palatable. Maybe it's I just like them so much.
I have the capability of not picturing it when I talk about it, but I guess you immediately picture it.
Well, I have a very visual memory and sense of living in the world. Whatever, it's fine. I think that Ari thinks that Kenya is the compromise. Now, obviously, she's not delivering it in the best way possible. It, of course, is coming across essentially as an ultimatum. But I think that that is in part because, you know, she feels that she didn't realize like how terrible the situation was for her. I think because, you know, she really had this lack of support in Ethiopia. She wasn't surrounded by her family. It was his family who wasn't supportive, and everyone else in Ethiopia was very like pro Bini. And so I think that she maybe was struggling a lot. It kind of felt a little bit like, oh, I've been putting up with this for so long. So now this is the compromise that I'm trying to instill.
I hear that, right? But I also feel like we can't not look at the fact that she spent 2 months with her family who have been very anti-Ethiopia and anti-Binyam. And I can't help but feel like that has also worked it a little bit.
But that's the whole that whole situation though was hilarious to me. Be like that you bring that up because I think it can apply to both sides because it's like, well, are they anti-Binny because he's bad or are they anti-Binny because they're discriminatory? And I'm sure it's a little bit of definitely at least a little bit of both. But like his behavior is unacceptable to me. Like if my partner were to turn my phone off, ignore my calls, multiple instances, like random people over at the house that I didn't know, like, yeah, I'd be upset too.
I understand what you're saying, Liana. However, I just can't help but feel like she is being like there's a little bit of hypocritical stuff in here because from her, because to me, his family is all involved. But the biggest non-Ari and Binyam person involved in this relationship is her mom. Her mom has control of so much in this relationship, so much more than Binyam has over his own son. Like the mom has decided all the medical procedure will not happen in the States. The mom is now coming to Kenya to oversee everything and make sure everything is on the up and up.
Yeah,
and then we see on the next time. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, on the mom real quick. Do you remember that when that time when she mediated the conversation between the two of them?
Yes.
Yeah, she was like so fair. I mean, she took Binny's side in the whole conversation. So, I mean, I'm not saying she's obviously somewhat impartial, but I think in terms of people that she seems to be willing to see all sides. Like even in this episode, when Ari was bashing on Binny, the mom was like trying to be like, okay, but let's just see. The mom felt like super supportive of the whole situation.
Yeah. But also I will say this, Liana, you mentioned if my partner was doing all this stuff, then of course I'd be mad. It's unacceptable. But I will also say this. If my partner like talked down to me constantly and would tell me to shut the F up every time I tried to bring up a point, why would I answer the phone? you know? I think, Liana, I think if you represented Ari, you would be able to articulate and her movements and her, you know, activity, her actions, her beliefs way better. But I think the way Ari does it is why so many people on Reddit and on the internet are speculating, like, what's up with Ari? Why is she doing all this? And she's the antagonist because of the way she delivers her messages and the way she makes decisions without, again, zero say is given to the partner in any capacity.
Yeah. Like, it comes across as very my way or the highway.
Yes, yes. It's my way or the highway. And, you know, when we discuss a couple where we agree both of them ain't shit, right? We've said this from the jump. I think every episode we have to remind people that neither of them are good. Let's just get that clear. I think even still, it's hard to then still look at them both as equally bad when one of the two is like more of the aggressor and more of the antagonist in the exchanges, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing about her mom that I think is of note, because her relationship with her mom, like, obviously her mom, like, is coming along and part of it feels like maybe like a little bit coddled, like Ari is coddled. I think that's in part because, and Ari has been really open about this, her mental health and anxiety. She's someone who has tried to release that anxiety through self-harm. She's got like scars all over her arms. And so I think that's in part why maybe her mom is a little bit more protective, because she, that her mom obviously just cares about her and doesn't want Ari to get to a really bad place, especially across the globe. And I think that's another reason why her family is really wants her to come home, is like when you know that you have a family member who, you know, has dealt with these types of issues, you just worry about them when they're all the way across the globe. And especially in a situation where they don't have family to support them and the family that they're with is actively against them.
Right.
And then the other thing that that I wanted to bring up, because there was like the question of the whole timing of her trip, like why she needed to be, she was for 2 months in the United States. There was, and this is 100% just the story of a nurse on Reddit. So I don't know how legit this is, but I will read what this nurse said. The nurse said that ORs are still backed up because of COVID. Hernia repair is a non-emergency, so it would have been added to the end of an existing backlog rather than scheduled right away. Also, they probably had to see a U.S. surgeon before they could even schedule. So it's not like she had the option to wait to travel before the surgery. So maybe that provides some context of like why she was there for so long because of that. Now, obviously, that doesn't defend how she ended up in the United States, right? Because, you know, she didn't run the idea by Vinny at all. It was just a decision. But that should maybe help, hopefully help to explain the length of the trip.
Right. That's a decent shout. Yeah, I think ultimately for them, what I would say is, Binium, stop turning off your phone. You're not 5 years old. You can hold down a conversation. You can firm a conversation. Stop it. That shit's childish. Stop it. Ari, he cares about you. Just don't talk to him like you are his superior and he will be more receptive. And then both of you stop being babies and figure your stuff out. Again, this is interesting because I literally was rooting for these two like four episodes ago. And now I hate seeing them on my screen because it just brings me, it angers me. The whole exchange angers me. And I hate these exchanges where the couple is in opposite ends of the earth or they're on different countries because they can't hash it out. They can't talk. Right. It just, they never give us that on the show. So I'm actually happy they end up in Kenya here. And as far as their exchange in Kenya goes, first of all, how adorable was it to see Binium playing with his son?
Yeah. Very cute. Very cute. Like to have them reunited after so long. And I assume that means the surgery went well.
Yeah, no, the surgery, like they gave us a one scene. They gave us one scene total about the surgery, and that was last week and it was the start of the episode. And it was like, yeah, it's fine. Everything worked out. I was like, okay, good to know. and then, so Ari gets a translator to talk to Binium one on one. And Ari's reasoning was, I got a translator because, you know, sometimes Binium will say that he didn't understand and things got lost in translation. I want to make sure that that isn't the case. And then Binium has a confessional where he says, I feel like this is just to make it more dramatic. I don't need a translator. And to be honest, I don't think he's needed a translator. So I thought this was an interesting stretch of a move potentially, but also it didn't harm anybody to have a translator there. So that doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, that we've actually seen that. We've seen this happen quite a bit on 90 Day Fiancé when two couples, even if they do speak English, just because, I mean, even you and I have issues and we, but you know, I know English is your second language, but like you now English is essentially your first language, right? I mean, like, would you say you had more command over the English language, right? Than like Farsi?
We.
So French then, I see.
We.
Okay.
Yeah, so, no, I think that, so it's interesting, right? Because the way the translator is being used here is she will speak in English. She will have the translator translate it to Binium, but then Binium, who's going to respond with English, which is his second language, is still going to have a hard time telling her things that he might intend, if that makes sense.
Wait, what do you mean?
So for example, it's not a two-way translation, right? So it's
I
not
thought
like,
it was, because I thought Ari kept saying like, no, speak to her, speak to her.
No, she was saying the opposite. She was like, no, look, speak to me. Like, look at me and speak to me. Yeah.
Oh, I see. I thought it was supposed to be both ways. So that's what I thought it was. I thought it was like, you have someone who can help to translate when English is second language.
I thought. Yeah, because I thought he was going to speak back in his language to her, and yeah, then she would say it in English. But it, like, he kept saying everything in English because I think she pushed for it. Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Well, that I don't understand. But I thought if it was someone who they could both speak in their native language, I mean, that's like on, oh my God, what am I thinking of? Where you really want people to have, yes, it's even 90 Day Fiancé. Like when, do you remember when Larissa and Jess got together? They're both Brazilian. And I was like, speak Portuguese together to shit on Colt. Like, I don't want you to have to both speak in your second language. Like, it'll be so much more fun if you can speak in your native language. And I felt like for this, it would have been so much better if they could have spoken in their native language to help try to facilitate those issues, because it's already tough enough to have those types of conversations, right? I mean, that's what I was getting to with us. Like, it's you, it can, even if English is your first language, you're both speaking exactly the same language, you both have command of it, it can still be tough to try to understand one another.
I agree. I 100% agree. Like, communication is key in the survival of a relationship. And communication already is complicated when people use the same language, let alone having the language barrier be a part of it. So ultimately with them and their exchange, I feel like there's a lot of accusations coming in from Ari's side. Obviously, she's heard a bunch of stuff. She's gotten texts. She's seen pictures from the cloud. So she's like, she's basically wanting a confession, right? She wants a confession and an acknowledgement, and then she wants the redemption of them rebuilding. I think that's what Ari wants. And I think what Binium wants is to not do that because he feels like his trust is being questioned and he doesn't like that. And he feels like he's being talked down to, and he feels like he doesn't, like, you know, don't take away my son, please. So it's, again, it stopped being fun, right? Their whole story was fun. I was enjoying watching their mess. This isn't fun for me anymore. This is uncomfortable.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to know how it's going to turn out. I think even if Ari doesn't necessarily want a confessional, I think she wants an apology. And I think that he doesn't maybe necessarily feel like he's done anything wrong. So he would say, well, I don't owe you an apology because, you know, I, you know, you either, not that two wrongs make a right, but if he feels like, oh, well, you've done these things to me, so therefore I, you know, I can behave this way. It's like, okay, you both screwed up, both say a sorry. Like, I, now kiss, you know, like, I need you guys exactly. to get along for the sake of your son, please. But that being said, if it's a bad situation, you know, knowing when to end it, I think is also really important.
Know when to fold them. Well, next week, we're going to see Binyam, Ari's mom, questioning Binyam about, did you cheat on her or not? And again, this is where I don't know, Leah. I know you say that she's very fair, but I feel like she's too involved as well. Like, it's like, cause it's like, it's still a party that is somewhat biased, right? Like, fair is fair, but that's still her, like, Ari's mom. So that's still like,
She, I mean, it's her daughter. Like, she's going to be protective. And I think that while she wants to keep an open mind to everything, like, of course you're going to want to do that type of stuff. Like, I can understand where that energy is coming from.
Yeah. So
like, your daughter may be awful, but like, she is still your daughter, you know?
Oh yeah. So, like, that's your daughter. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. All right. Well, do you have anything else you want to say? I feel like we put a lot on the table with them. Is there anything
no,
else?
No, I'm done with them.
Yeah, they really are a fun suck.
Yeah. Oof.
Okay, so this last one isn't a fun suck, but I'm so furious that I'm going to laugh. Okay. All right. Hold on. Liana, we didn't get to talk about this couple. Can you quickly tell me your thoughts about Ellie and Victor before we go to Jenny and Samit?
Oh, I was like, who? yeah, mess. Like, I don't know where they're going to go. I mean, he's in crisis mode. You just lived through a freaking Category 5 hurricane. Your house is destroyed. Your family's house is destroyed. The life that you built is completely in ruins. This is like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You got to fulfill that basic bottom tier first. And Ellie's out here being like, okay, but like, cheating though? It's like, no. That's tip top of the pyramid. Okay. Like, we need to get electricity and we need to get a house and we need to put up our tent. Like, that's the level that you're at. And so it just feels like people who are on completely different levels when it comes to the relationship. So, you know, I know you suggested last week, it's like, oh, maybe she should just go back. She needs to recognize the situation that she's in. Ellie does, which is, look, we are in crisis. We collectively are in crisis mode. And she needs to make a decision about whether or not she feels like it's worth it for her to invest the time, energy, and effort to help him fix up his life. Unfortunately, I think she wants that guarantee before she makes that commitment. If that's the case, yeah, just go back to America. Like, yeah, it's kind of a dick thing to do because it's like, I came all the way here and like, shouldn't you be helping? And be like, but I have like pizza to make, so like, I'm going to be outie. I
think for the relationship, it's just better. It's just better if she gives him the space to rebuild. And then when it's rebuilt, she can come back and they can work on the relationship. Because until he's in purgatory with his whole living situation, his whole island is in shambles, he can't focus on the two of them. He just can't, you know?
Yeah,
and I mean, I don't blame him.
No, like literally, that's what I was saying with the Maslow's hierarchy. It means like, he can't even I'm just imagining myself in that situation. Like, I couldn't even process that if I'm just trying to get my house back together, you know, and not only that, but having going through the trauma of the hurricane itself and having your whole life destroyed. Ellie, read the frickin' room.
Right. And also the reason I remember to bring this up is because next time on, it's just that it's Victor still going through it of like having flashbacks to what has been going on. And, you know, the problem is that obviously, yes, there was some infidelity stuff. She needs to get to the bottom of that for sure. She is owed that. But the time isn't now, Ellie. Like, the time just isn't now. You got to leave it and you got to go back to it later. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of, you got to leave it and never go back to it. Liana, let's go to freaking Jenny and Sumit here because they were the stars of the show. They had the most story. And I do not understand how we got to where we got to. Okay. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Uh-huh.
So The main catalyst of Jenny and Sumit's story is going to be the astrologer who came through and changed the flipping game on its head. Khalid, the astrologer, changed everything today, Liana.
This was like whiplash. It was absolutely a complete 180 and did not go the way that I was expecting, right? Because we're set up with this astrologer who apparently has been working with Sumit's parents for 30 years. And the way that his parents speak about him, like, oh, all of his predictions came true. And the times, like, when I did the wrong thing, it was horrible. It was really like this astrologer guy was just the pinnacle of all human beings. Anything that he said was going to be done. And he's the astrologer that said that Jenny and Sumit needed to wait to get married. So obviously, I thought predictability. Oh, the astrologer is going to be on the parent's side, going to be on Sumit's side. But no, that was not the case at all.
No, whatsoever. I actually couldn't believe what happened. So, yeah, basically this astrologer has been in the family for, what, 30 years or something? So his word is gospel. His word goes, they bring him out. And also before all this happens, like Sumit goes into the room and says, hey, Jenny, so the astrologer's coming. Make sure you have some snacks and tea and stuff to serve him so that my parents see that and like they are approving. It's like, Sumit, do it your damn self. It's so annoying. Whatever. We don't need to get into it. It's fine because they're all perfect now. So the astrologer really gives Sumit's mom the business. And I did not expect to ever see this happen on this TV show because truthfully, the only person that could do that would be Jenny, but she would never do it because she doesn't want to upset Sumit. And Sumit would never do it because he has no spine. Sumit's mom was not only called, Sumit's mom was literally called selfish. So what kind of mother are you? A selfish mother? That's how it looks to me.
Yeah. And this was the first scene of the whole episode. So this just set this tone of like, wait, what am I watching? Is it backwards day? Like, who is this guy? He's speaking common sense. Like honestly, he was so much more forward than the therapist ever was, obviously. I think like because he's got that familiarity for so long, he feels that he can speak more candidly about the whole thing. But it was so shocking.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe anyone was talking to, like, these two parents have literally had everything go their way and they've elicited so much fear in their children that this boy doesn't want to get married until he gets his parents' blessing, which I believe that to be nonsense. Now we'll get to that in a second, but they have elicited a lot of terror, basically. So to see him say all this and the astrologer basically breaks down all the walls. Sumit's mom is now crying. And then and the astrologer also says stuff like, you need to let them go. You need to, you know, let the universe handle this. And then says, this is God's wish. It's written in the stars. And the parents say after this, they were like, yeah, she cried. Then she said, it's out of our control. Okay. It's out of our control. And then the astrologer tells Jenny, she is the one who won't bless you, but that shouldn't mean that she should curse you. And I was like, damn, put that on a quilt somewhere. That's great. Love that. And then Sumit was like having a confession. He said, I'm so happy that, you know, someone is telling my parents this. I was like, you should have told your parents this years ago. But, you know, you have to wait for the astrologer to do it because, again, Sumit's got the spine of a jellyfish.
Mm-hmm. I just to go back real quick, I went and looked at the full quote. Are you a selfish mother? Seems like it to me. Let him go. What? Yeah,
that felt like a honey, put it in the burn book moment. I was like,
it was wild. Yeah. Smith sucks. Like, and then my God, he's just, it's just living this weird fake life. I mean, let's not forget the fact that he met Jenny because he was catfishing. What was his name? It was something hilariously generic. Yeah, like, it wasn't Michael Scott, but it was,
Jonathan something, right?
Oh, shoot. I don't know. I feel like my dad right now.
I mean, that's the thing, though. His story has been very wild.
Mm-hmm. Michael Jones. Yes, Michael Jones. Okay. So, okay, Michael Jones. So you end up catfishing this woman. And then I think, like, when he finally opened up to Jenny about being a catfish and then was shocked that she just said, okay, and stuck with it, he's just been in this weird situation ever since. Because, like you said, he is the spine of a jellyfish. He's not going to say anything. So that's why he never stood up to anything. And now he's just, it's almost like he's just agreeing with the person in the room that he think has the most power at the time. So the astrologer comes in and is like, this is how I feel. And Smith's like, Yeah. What this guy said.
Would be
perfect for a cult.
Oh, if he's not already in one.
Mm-hmm. That's possible.
So then in the next scene, we see Jenny gets summoned by Sumit's mom to talk one-on-one. The message was delivered by Sumit's dad. And that still means Sumit's dad's going to be there because Sumit's dad is their translator, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the mom says, you know, I'm going back to my house tomorrow. You're kind-hearted. And, you know, I want you to know that I want to maintain the love between us. Everything's up to God from here on out. And talk about whiplash. This is where I got. I could not believe. Like, literally, the last three episodes, we've watched her berate Jenny. We've watched her talk shit to Jenny to her face while laughing at her face without Jenny realizing. We've watched her try and make Jenny do the neti pot with the string and the mustard. Like, it's not been a good exchange. So this 180 is baffling to me.
Mm-hmm. That's all it took, apparently. I say all it took. The astrologer's been putting in the work for 30 years, okay? But it was amazing. I mean, now, to be fair, the mom did. She put her foot down when it came to the blessings on marriage, right? Because she was like, oh, well, we'll see. But, I mean, at least the whole, we will love you, we'll love you so much. I don't know. Maybe it was the whole, we catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. So maybe she's hoping that the approval will drive him away. Like, I can't help but feel that there's some ulterior motive here. Just because, like you said, we've seen the mom be so brutal to Jenny this whole time.
Yeah, like, just very, very brutal. And I mean, she'll take it. I love that she's still, like, Jenny. Because Jenny has been trying to get married to Sumit. Like, no one in this world has been more committed to take a husband the way Jenny wants to take Sumit. And I don't get it. And I wish Jenny would go after someone who is who deserves to be with someone like Jenny. And that's not Sumit. But here we are. She immediately says, you know, what about the blessing to marry? Mom's like, listen, we'll see. We're not going to stop you. We're also not going to support it. Mm-hmm. Change a little and we'll see, which is very much a them answer. And Jenny then tells Sumit everything. Sumit goes to talk to his mom, says this was a big step. And actually, this scene kind of like gave me a little bit of bumps, you know, I liked it, where she says she's, you know, she does all this for him and that she used to get so angry at him but it bothered her that she got angry and she doesn't want to do it like that. And now she's like, well, I'm your mother. I can change. And I've changed myself and left it to fate. I wish I could change like this on the fly, you know, like
we got to get you an astrologer. That's the way around it.
I think so. Well, then the last scene with them, they're going to celebrate Holi. The celebration does consist of like paints and colors and stuff. And they take these things up to the roof and they start throwing like the color at each other and stuff, the paint at each other. And it's just a celebration. They get to goof around. They're having a good time. And then Jenny says, well, listen, now that your parents have said they're not going to meddle in it, I want to get married ASAP. And Sumit says, well, I think we should go to the astrologer and see when we should get married according to the astrologer. And Jenny was like, oh, okay, you know what? That's a good idea. He's caused, like, Jenny immediately is also giving credit to the astrologer. Like, yeah, the astrologer, you know, he knows what's up. He made all this happen. So we'll go see what the astrologer says. But what if the astrologer says tomorrow morning, Will we go get married tomorrow morning? Which Sumeet should say yes, because he literally has no leg to stand on beyond that. And he's like, I don't want to get, no, I don't think so. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, there was definitely part of it. There were some moments where you could see in Sumeet's face, like at various moments after the whole, oh, my parents approve now situation, that was the hello darkness, my old friend kind of meme, where you could just sort of see him dying inside, knowing that he might actually have to go through marrying Jenny. And this moment was no different. And, Jenny, of course, is like, yeah, I'm definitely pro this guy. He's the one who just was able to turn around Sumeet's parents so quickly. So I don't know if Sumeet's going to get to him first and pay him off, or like what the whole situation is going to be. But if, oh gosh, I don't know. I just really, do you think they're ever going to actually get married?
Dude, no. At this point, no. Like, if the parents have now gotten to this place where they are, quote, approving or not approving, they're just like, we'll leave you alone, do what you want to do, and he still doesn't do it? No, definitely not. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
I think he's just trying to wait it out. I don't know. We'll see. But now, I mean, one of those hurdles is removed, but I think he can always fall back on the fact that I want my parents' blessing for us to get married. So maybe they're not anti-Jenny, but they're anti-Jenny and him getting married. So he can play that card. At least he still has that on the table.
Yeah. I cannot say this enough. This is 2 weeks in a row now where a couple that seemed doomed to fail, that I was rooting against, are now completely patched up and everything's fine and it's looking like it's going in the right direction. I'm not happy. You know what? Make it three. Corey and Evelyn look like they were in the pits. They're fine now too. I don't know what's going on. I don't love it, but that's fine. As long as stuff's going on and I'm feeling feelings, that's 90 Day Fiance for you. So they're doing it right.
Yeah. Plus it'll be over in a month.
Other than the next one will start. This podcast will never stop, but that's fine. We'll have fun on it the whole
week. Yeah, it's going to be a new cycle of people to rag on, right?
Exactly. Well, can we really quickly say, also on the next time on, Sumeet Flippin says something along the lines of, my last divorce changed me and I don't want to be a part of any marriage. I think that's like a misdirect editing thing, but low key, I wouldn't be surprised if Sumeet would say something that stupid, considering that that divorce happened while he was dating Jenny.
Yeah. So. It's not like this unknown traumatic thing from his past. He's this grizzled man dealing with all of these emotional burdens and trauma. It's like,
you push him to get divorced.
Yeah. Like we watched the whole thing happen. I mean, obviously what he went through in general is pretty wild with the whole staying with Jenny, but also then like having to get married because he, you know, has a spine of a jellyfish. So who knows what this is really all about. Yeah. I said something about the person I was before and now is a big difference. I mean, you're still spineless.
You're the same, dude. You had no passport then. You have no passport now. Same, same. Okay.
And he's saying, yeah, I don't think I can survive another divorce. Are you planning on divorcing her?
This is a great. Yeah, no, honestly, it's a very, very great way for him to go out of his way to not get married again. And by great, I'm being sarcastic. It's horrible. Yeah, it's not good.
I think this is on the 90 Day subreddit, but it was the meme of all the numbers where it's Sumeet trying to figure out how to not get married.
yeah, it's very good. It's a very good meme. I have it saved already.
Disaster.
All right, Liana. Well, this covers this week's rendition of the 90 Day Fiancé podcast. I couldn't have done this with anyone else, Liana. So thank you for coming through and for not only giving us your takes, but also deep diving the nonsense with me with a fine tooth comb. I really do appreciate that from you. There's not going to be any 90 Day Bears All portion this week because it doesn't exist. They didn't put up an episode. Liana and I were going to talk about that, but it didn't happen. So Liana, where can people find you? What do you have going on?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP, podcasting, of course, about Masked Singer with you. And then Survivor, we had a really, really fun episode with Allie Lasher. where Mike and I brought some really stupid games. We did some buffer snuff. We played a really, 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 really dumb game. That was my brainchild. So I would say check that out because it was, of course, a ton of fun.
Perfect. Yeah, I listened to the B&B today while cleaning the house, and it was great. I enjoyed myself. So thank you for that.
All right. Glowing recommendation. Go listen.
Definitely not a biased recommendation. No, honestly, jokes aside, it was phenomenal. And then jokes in front, there were a lot of jokes on there too. So boom, double. Nice.
Wow. Nailed it.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I stream there about 3-4 times a week. Come say hi. It's always a good time. And if you would like to listen to our other podcast where Liana and I are every week, 90 Day Fiancé. No, sorry, Masked Singer.
That's what
I do this every time. I do this on every podcast now that I'm on, and it's rough. It's not good.
Okay, well, we got it, right? We're good.
Should I edit it out or should I leave my mistakes on?
Of course, leave them in. This is 90 Day, the podcast we normally do week in,
is the Masked Singer.
Is the Masked Singer. That is correct. Yes. Good job.
Hey, don't be condescending to me.
I said good job. I said good job.
Stop that. I'm going to turn off my phone.
We applied the sweet baby raise.
We're going to apply the sweet baby raise. Oh my God. All right.
No, so if you would like just applied the sweet baby raise, just to clarify on the quote.
Yeah, Liana's got this on a pillow somewhere at this point. If you would like to leave a rating or review for this podcast, please go over to robiswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 90 day fiance. That allows me to get your feedback. It allows people to find the show, and it allows you to put some stars on the screen, which I always do appreciate. And I'll be back next week to not only talk about 90 Day Fiance The Other Way season 3 episode 12, but also 90 Day Fiance The Single Life Season 2, Episode 1. Oof, it's going to be rough. But thank you so much for listening to this podcast. You have arrived at your destination, and we will talk to you next week. Till then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. That is going on the ribs.
Sweet Baby Ray.
Sweet Baby Ray's.
The Sweet Baby Ray's.
Sweet Baby Ray's is very good.
Sweet Baby Ray's.
Sweet Baby Ray's. We have just applied the Sweet Baby Ray's. Sweet Baby Ray's. Sweet Baby Ray's. Maybe throw some Sweet Baby Ray's on the ribs and take it from there.